Let's open our Bibles. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21. If you don't have a Bible, you should be able to find one underneath the chair in front of you. Proverbs 21, 21. We are in the middle of a 9-part series called The Fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is a list of graces that we see in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And I've been encouraging us all to memorize them, not because memorizing scripture makes you cool. It doesn't. But it does help you. Memorizing scripture is a tool that we get to access as we're considering the things God calls us to believe or to be. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, depending on your translation. And today we're considering kindness. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It is good, it is clear, but we need help not just to understand it, but to believe it, and we need to be changed by it. We pray, God, that you would not just inform our minds today, but that you would transform our hearts, and that we would learn to value and treasure kindness, not just kindness that you offer us in your Son, Jesus Christ, but kindness as a virtue for us to exhibit as well toward others. In Jesus' name, amen. You know that expression, random acts of kindness? Everybody knows that expression. You've heard that? Do random acts of kindness, the exhortation. It's I like it. It's a good thing. And it's been around for a while. I've known it most of my life, right? Like maybe a lot of us think that. But it hasn't, as an expression like that, do random acts of kindness, hasn't been around forever. It actually was started in the early 80s in California. A woman wrote it on like a table in a diner somewhere, popular diner. Do random acts of kindness. Said a couple of other things, but that's the one that stuck out. Do random acts of kindness. And it sort of took off first locally, right? People would put it up on signs in around the town and show up on billboards, put on t-shirts. And then later on, there was a book written about this idea of random acts of kindness. And it has become a thing, right, that we understand in our culture, in American culture, that it is a good thing, if a rare thing, it is a good thing to do kind acts of generosity toward people that you don't even know. Let it be random. Let it be unconditional. I'm going to bless this person by being kind, by going above and beyond. I'm going to surprise them with help. And we like it. It's valuable. It's a good thing. I think everybody can get behind it ideologically, even if we're not going to get behind it practically because it happens to cost us some level of inconvenience. Now, today, random acts of kindness are usually highlighted on social media, meaning there's some person who has a TikTok channel, and they find another person that they don't have any connection to, but they engage with that person all on camera, and they surprise them with a generous act of kindness. And sometimes it's a hardworking waitress that's working hard. You're just hustling all day, not getting a lot of tips, and they surprise her with a $1,000 tip, right? Like, oh, this is amazing, right? And I'll admit it, I see some of that, and I get the feels for a moment. I get the feels. I'm like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Like, look at that's going to really help that person. It can make a huge difference in their life. It's great. But these acts of kindness, right? I've seen them go up to a homeless person and say, hey, what do you need? This is a good thing. What do you need? Well, I need a sleeping bag. Great. Let's go get you a sleeping bag. What else do you need? You need a tent? The tent would be great. We'll get you a tent. What else do you need? And they'll load up the cart at Walmart and get them all these things. That is a kindness. It's great. But the fact that they're recording it means there's something else going on. It's not just an act of kindness because there's an additional motive to it, which I think corrupts the act itself to some degree. Because there's a sense in which they're doing this for clicks, right? They're doing it for views. You get enough views, you get money for it. They're doing it to make money. There's a sense in which they're doing it more for themselves and for the other person. And so I'm afraid that our concept of kindness is constantly corrupted by the pop culture examples that we are left with when we aren't seeing too many examples of it up close and personal. And you don't see lots of examples of true kindness because most of the time it goes on under the radar. It's not something you're meant to see much of in other people's lives. It's something you're meant to do much of for other people. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to consider this grace, this quality of kindness today. We're going to get a definition of it so we actually know what we're talking about. And then we're going to consider kindness as it is three things. It is commanded by God, it is rewarded by God, and it is then perfected in God. But first, we're going to start with a definition, right? And when we're considering kindness, it's important that we understand that kindness can be thought of as an attitude or an action. And so I'm going to say that attitude must be both an attitude and an action. It is not just what you do. It is why you are doing it. It is attitude and action together. So I'm going to define it this way. Kindness is a sympathetic generosity that offers undeserved help. That's our summary. I think we can use that as our sermon summary for today because the definition itself has an implied exhortation or command. Kindness is a sympathetic generosity that offers undeserved help. We understand the concept of generosity. Like, so kindness is a kind of generosity. It's a kind of giving in a variety of ways, but it is sympathetic, meaning it is compassionate. So this act of kindness is not merely an act. It is not just born out of a sense of responsibility or duty. In fact, it's not a natural responsibility. It is a God-given responsibility, not because the person who you demonstrate kindness toward deserves it, but because you know that they need it. It's not coming from a mere sense of duty, and because it's sympathetic, it is never condescending. An act of kindness is never condescending. It never comes from a place where you think you are better than the person that you are helping. If you have a holier than thou, I'm better than you attitude, sense, feeling in that moment, it's not kindness. It's something else. Because to say that kindness is a sympathetic generosity means that you are identifying with the person in need. You recognize sameness, commonality. You see yourself in their need, in their pain. You can relate. You're sympathetic to their plight. And it is a sympathetic generosity, right? It is not cheap. Kindness is never cheap. If it's cheap, it ain't kindness. It's something else. It's not stingy. It's not miserly. It's liberal with its giving. It is going above and beyond. It is sacrificial, right? That's what it is. You feel it when you are giving. And this generosity, it can be money. And that's part of the problem that I see with the TikToks, right? Is it's always money. It's always money. It's usually money anyways. And it's like, well, that's a part that can be a big part of kindness, right? That it's a financial sacrifice. But kindness is also often identified by words, not dollar value. Some of the most meaningful acts of kindness that you will do in your life are when you offer words of hope or comfort to people who are so desperate for it. It's not going to cost you anything from your bank account, but it will cost you your time. It'll cost you your comfort. So it's a sympathetic generosity that is offering undeserved help, right? So it's help of a variety of kinds, right? It's help. It's the assistance to the afflicted. It is doing good to those who are grieved. We can think about this in a number of different ways. Somebody has a need, and what you are called to do in these moments is to be kind, which means not well-wishing, but good-doing. Well-wishing is easy. Everybody likes to well-wish. Ooh, that's coming up. Sounds pretty hard. Good luck with that. That's what we like. Good luck with that. Praying for you. Thoughts and prayers. Here you go. I gotcha. By the way, that's why so many people in the world get mad when religious folk, and we would fall into that camp, okay? When religious folk say, my thoughts and my prayers are with you. Now, here's the thing. We're supposed to say our thoughts and our prayers are with people when they are suffering, if we are actually thinking of them and praying for them. It's a good thing. Thoughts and prayers matter. We're called to think of others and to pray for them diligently. So to say, hey, my thoughts and prayers are with you through your affliction is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But the reason it frustrates so many people in the secular world when they hear it is because they don't see acts of kindness complementing the words. God's not calling us to be well-wishers. He's calling us to do good for those who are in need. I mean, you know what the scripture says in James chapter 2, starting in verse 15. It says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, you know, praying for you, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? The implication is it's of no good. It's of no value. Kindness acts. It engages. It is a kind of help that is undeserved. And this is really important. Kindness is help that is undeserved, unearned. It's not merited. This kind of help cannot be owed. It must be freely given, which means that much of the kindness that God calls us to exhibit in the world is extended to people that are unworthy of it. You see, I believe that most of us like the concept of kindness if we get to dole it out to the people we like, you know, to the people that'll appreciate it. You know, like the server is having a bad day and they're doing a bad job and they're not refilling my Diet Coke when I need it. Holy smokes. And so what? They do not deserve a good tip. They haven't earned it. Now, it would be a kind thing to then tip them generously, even in spite of it. That's a kind. Here's an example of kindness. I'm going to tip them generously, even though they blew it and they didn't deserve it. If you tip them generously and they've been an awesome server, that's not a kindness. It's okay. It's good. It's a good thing to do. Undeserved, right? So that's a kindness. I'm going to extend mercy to this person. And then they don't even say thanks when you give them the big fat tip. Now you're like, ooh, I wish I didn't do that. That's not, my kindness is reserved for people that will appreciate my magnanimity. I want them to realize how good of a person I can be. See, real kindness is undeserved. Even if the misery that they are in, the trouble that they are in, is one that they brought upon themselves. This is what kindness is. Sympathetic feeling, right? Sympathetic generosity. I can identify with this person in their need, in their hurt, in their pain. And it offers undeserved, unconditional help. They don't get it because they measure up in some arbitrary standard I've created in my head. They are in need, and so I want to help. So, this is what kindness is. Now, number one, kindness is commanded by God. We know this. We see this in Scripture. We see the commands, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit, something that God's going to produce in us by His Holy Spirit, but it is also a command. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, what does it say? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So there's the command. Be kind to each other. Why do you think Paul has to say it to a bunch of Christians who have the Holy Spirit, who have the gift of salvation, who are reading the Bible together? He says, hey, when you come together, be nice, be kind to each other, because it just doesn't come that naturally to us. We struggle with it. It's commanded. Be kind to one another. And you can see the built-in sympathetic component, right? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. There's the help. There's the grace. Forgiveness is never owed, right? You don't earn forgiveness. You can ask for it, but you don't deserve it. So what we're called to extend forgiveness to the undeserving. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There's the sympathy component. Because you know what it's like to be a debtor, to be in need, and to receive kindness from God. You know what it is to be the offending party, the one who caused the havoc, the one who created the problem, and in need of forgiveness, and God extended it to you anyways. So God calls us, He commands us to this sympathetic generosity. And we can see that this requires something of us, right? That it requires a sense of initiative. Like, we have to take the initiative upon ourselves to be kind. We're called to do this. It takes intentionality. Listen to how Paul says it in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. He says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. So same idea, right? The fountain from which your kindness is going to come is from the experience of God's kindness towards you. And now because you've experienced that, you can extend it to others. But what does he say? He says, put this on. Do this. Practice this. Try this. I think a lot of us think like, well, if I just pray really hard, like, God's just going to make me kind or patient or whatever. It doesn't work that way. And you've probably figured it out by now, because if that's all you're doing, you're not growing. God causes us to grow spiritually, and he uses things like the word, scripture. He uses the prayers of the saints, and he uses as a part of the process of growing our struggling and striving and practicing of the virtues he's called us to do. We're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Kindness is commanded by God, and it means it's going to take intentionality. It requires us to take the initiative, to look and see the need, and to say, okay, I can be kind here. I will be kind here. And this involves attitude, not just action, right? Always attitude, not just action. Let me give you another verse, really popular life verse for a lot of people, Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Here it is. Here's God's will for your life: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. That's it. It's a great summary. To do justice and to love kindness. Not just to do it, you got to love it. It's got to be connected to your heart. You've got to have a sense of sympathy and empathy for people, right? That so that you are moved by a commonality, by a sense of identity and shared experience to help them in their distress or need. You're supposed to love it. Now, if God commands us to be kind and we're called to take the initiative, I think it's a pretty common feeling for us to sometimes have. It's like, well, why do I got to be the one who's kind? Why can't they be the one who's kind? Like, I don't understand why, like, I have to, like, it's a lot to ask of me, to be honest. I'm not, like, I'm not naturally that kind of a person. I can be fair, but kind, I don't know. It seems like a bit much. So let me just remind us all. Why you? If not you, who else? You think it's easier for somebody else? Don't worry about other people. Worry about yourself. Why you? Because God commands it. And that should be enough. God commands it. And what have you received from the Lord? Not just a command, right? You've received his kindness. You know it. You should know it well. What have you received? We'll come back to that. It is a command of God that we need to take seriously. But it is also rewarded by God. He commands it, yes, but he also rewards it. If we go back to what we started with, Proverbs 21:21. It says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. I love this verse. I spent probably a lot of my time in this particular verse because God was just using it to hit me in a couple of different ways. First of all, again, we're told pursue this, practice this. This should be something you're serious about. So seek or pursue righteousness and kindness. Kindness. He doesn't just say kindness. Why not? Why not just kindness? It's hard enough, right? Why pair the two? And I believe it's because they aren't the same thing, and that's why they're put together. God says, pursue justice. That is, do what is right. And when he says, pursue kindness, he is saying, do more than what is right. Right? Justice is about balance. Kindness is not about balance. Kindness is about, I'm overdoing it. I'm giving more. I'm going to help where it's not deserved. Justice says, you got to pay. You got to pay. And there's a time and a place, absolutely. But there's also time and place and opportunity for us to exhibit kindness, to do more. We're supposed to seek it. We're supposed to pursue it. And you know the biblical principle, right? The biblical principle is that if you seek the things that God promises, you find them. It's a lock. It's a promise. If you seek the things that God promises to you, you will find them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. And here's how he explains it. Or which one of you, if he has a son and asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We don't deserve the good things, but we need them, and God gives them. And so, yes, he commands us, but then he rewards us. He says, if you seek this, you will find it. If you seek to be kind, I will give you opportunity and power to be kind. Seek justice and kindness. But then what does he actually give us? It doesn't say, hey, seek justice and kindness, and that's what you get. It says, seek justice and kindness, and you find life and righteousness and honor. This is amazing. This is incredible that he gives us even more than we're seeking. We're seeking good things, right? Righteousness or justice. Righteousness and kindness. We're seeking to embody these things, to not just experience them for ourselves from God, but to demonstrate them toward others. And he goes, yes, I'm going to let you do this. It's going to become a part of who you are, but I'm going to give you more than that. I'm going to give you life. Abundant life. Life, like the vivifying principle of your existence that makes your existence enjoyable. Joyful life is abundant life. Just really full life. That's what we're talking about. You will truly have a life worth living if you learn and practice kindness. God will reward us with life and with righteousness, which is another way of saying godliness or godlikeness. You will become like your heavenly Father who gives you good gifts when you are in need, who supplies you with what is best at all times. You will become the person you're meant to be. And kindness is a key part of that. And honor. And honor. And there's honor because people who are kind are known for being kind. You ever notice that? I've been thinking about it. I think like, y'all are kind people, okay? But there are some people who just, like, when I think about them, one of the first things that comes to my mind is they're so kind because they are thoughtful of other people and they are quick to step in and to help them regardless of any benefit for themselves. Kind people are known for being kind. You can be a lot of things. You can be known for a lot of things, but if you are a kind person, you will also always be known as that. In addition to everything else, I don't know if I'm known as a kind person, smart and good looking, whatever. Like, there's a lot, you could say a lot of things. But kind? I want to be known as a kind person, right? Not because I want to be thought much of, but because I want to be like Jesus. And so, this is what happens. You pursue kindness, then you receive life and righteousness and honor. In other words, God is saying, listen, I'm commanding you to be kind, to focus on others. Don't focus on yourself, focus on others. But just so you know, I'm going to bless you when you are kind to others. Like, that's how kind I am. God is good. So kindness is commanded by God, and it is rewarded by God, but ultimately it is perfected in God. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 36. Jesus says, take this in light of everything that we've been considering so far. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. This is it. This tells us everything that we need to know. We're supposed to be kind toward others, sympathetic generosity that is undeserved. You know, and like, yes, you think like, well, why do I want to be kind to somebody who won't even appreciate it? That's what makes it kindness. That's why it matters. That's why it's such a countercultural idea. We're called to be kind to people that won't care, that won't see why it matters so much. Because that's what God does. Jesus explains it very clearly. When you act like this, you are acting like God. You are reflecting your heavenly Father because he is kind to the ungrateful, to the very people that don't appreciate it. And by the way, he's talking about you and me. But we don't appreciate half of the good things God has given us in this life. He is kind to the ungrateful. And that's pretty good. I think that's a high mark. But ingratitude, I could think of worse things. That's why Jesus goes on to say, God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Because you might be able to overlook ingratitude, like, well, you know, not very grateful, not very appreciative, because we're thinking about it horizontally between them and us. But ungrateful to God is an evil. And he has to put a fine point on it. And he says, no, God is kind to the ungrateful, to the evil, to those who are thoughtless and uncaring and don't say thank you to the Lord for what they have received, but instead will use the very act of kindness for evil. I'm not going to give that guy any money. He's going to do the wrong thing with it. Well, that might be a good choice to make. It might be. But sometimes it's a good thing to give them money in and of itself. I don't know what they're going to do with it. That's okay. What if they use it for evil? That's on them. The act of kindness is on you. There isn't one way to demonstrate kindness. You can buy a person who's asking for money a meal if that's what they need. You can spend time with somebody who is lonely. You can offer words of hope and encouragement and direction to people that are confused or isolated or hurting. Sometimes rebuke is the kindness that people need, a gentle rebuke. And we see it perfectly in God. God's kindness, right? Have you seen God's kindness in your life? Well, I can tell you this, you don't see all of it. I don't. Couldn't possibly count them all, even if you could see them all. There are so many. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul is preaching, he says that it is the Lord, it is God who gives us life and breath and all things, which does not mean that he merely gives us oxygen to breathe on a planet that can sustain life. It means that he gives us every good thing that leads to a full and enjoyable life. Every good gift in this life comes from God. It's a kindness that we do not deserve that he lavishes upon us. Perfection. Kindness is perfected in God. And this is important because the kindness of God is what the gospel actually is in a big picture sense. The gospel is a word that means good news, right? And so we preach the gospel, we teach the gospel, we focus on the gospel. We always say here at Redeemer that the gospel is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings salvation to all who believe in him. That's what it is. But it's a kindness, right? Listen to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Salvation and all that it entails is a gift, right? The gift of God is eternal life and Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. It's a kindness. It is everything. When the loving kindness of God appeared, Jesus Christ is kindness incarnate. Jesus is the kindness of God. The greatest act of kindness. Sympathetic generosity. Jesus identifies us with us in our weaknesses. He knows what it is to be tempted. That's what we're told in Hebrews. He knows what it is to be tempted, and yet he persevered in holiness. And so now he comes to help, to be kind. He comes to help the children of Abraham. That's us. He comes to help the children of Abraham, those who believe, in our temptation and weakness and frailty, because he was there. He knows it. He doesn't just look down and go, "You big babies, you just can't do it without my help." He says, "No, I've been there. I know the struggle. I know the temptations of the devil. I know the weakness that is in this world, and I want to help you as an act of kindness because I identify and I care." Paul's making the point that throughout this, that salvation is all of grace. It's not of our works. It's not of our works done in righteousness. You're not saved because you're kind. If that were the case, we would never have it. We wouldn't have anything if it depended upon our works done in our own righteousness, our own flesh. It would amount to nothing. But we have everything because it's all based upon Christ and his mercy, his kindness. This is why he even goes on to say, like, you have this salvation because the Holy Spirit has been given to you that caused you to be regenerated, right? You don't regenerate your own heart, which means you don't cause your own self to be born again. You don't just will yourself into a new life. God gives you the Holy Spirit and causes you to be born again. And now your heart works, does what it's supposed to do. It loves, it believes. It can actually start to be genuinely kind. It's all the work of God. We're justified, right? That's the word that's used. It means our sins are forgiven. And we are called righteous in the sight of God. We're reconciled to God so that there is no more barrier between us. And then we're made what? Heirs, inheritors. Not earners, inheritors of eternal life. This and everything else that we've experienced from God is good. We know kindness because we know God's kindness. Except that we do tend to forget. But if we remember, we can see it, we can value it. If you can see it, you can feel it. And if you feel the kindness of God, you will find yourself equipped to extend kindness to others because it's a sympathetic generosity that offers undeserved help. If you think about kindness, we have to acknowledge it's hard. It is hard. It's not easy. And again, it's easy to extend kindness to somebody that you're on good terms with, somebody that you like, somebody that you're friendly with. But we're called to extend kindness to the unworthy, the undeserving, the ungrateful. That's hard. You think, I can't do it? I can't. How am I supposed to do it? And I resonate with you. I understand. I don't want to offer it. You don't know what I've gone through. And so the only thing I can encourage you with here is to encourage you to, again, consider the kindness of God and let it have its work in you. And here's how it can work. In Romans chapter 2, verse 1, think about the position you're in right now if this is where you're at. I'm not, because you need to think about the need to be kind to people that you don't want to be kind to. That's who you should be thinking about. I'm not worried about the people that you're on good terms with. You're probably going to be kind to them. I don't want to do it. Why? Because they're not worthy of it. That's the idea. Romans 2 says this. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and then do them yourselves, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God is meant to lead you to repentance? You are slow to be kind to someone because they don't deserve it. And in that moment, God is patient with you being kind. He is kind with me when I'm slow to be kind to others. What in the world? He does the opposite of what I do. He's calling me to imitate himself, and he knows, I know you're a slow learner, Joe. You're just not going to get it. So I'm going to be patient with you, a kindness, while you are withholding kindness to another person. Because my kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God's kindness is meant to lead me to kindness. When I realize he's being patient with me, he is teaching me, he's taking time with me to change me. He gives me what I do not deserve, what I am ungrateful for and unaware of most of the time, that I might learn to give it to others. No, those people do not deserve your kindness. They don't, but they need it. They desperately need it. Because what you're offering people who really don't deserve it, when you're offering them kindness, is you're offering them a glimpse of God. Because they got a whole bunch of ideas in their own head that are probably a little out of shape. And they're hearing concepts of God from the world all the time, lots of religious folk. But when we are kind and gracious to somebody, we are saying or admitting, we are acknowledging in some way, it's not that you have earned this or deserve it, it's that I want to freely give it to you. This is who God is. He freely gives us so much more than we deserve. He is good. And so, no, they don't deserve your kindness. They need it. And we can say this is the same situation for all of us with God. If you are not a believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus, and you're here and you're just checking things out or you're thinking through things, that's awesome. I'm glad you're here. I was there, heard about Jesus for the first time and trying to figure things out and start reading the Bible. Oh, it was kind of weird, didn't understand it. Coming to church, listen to a guy talk too long. You do not deserve God's kindness. You don't deserve his forgiveness. You don't deserve his love. You don't deserve his mercy. That's what makes it mercy. That's what makes it kindness. You have sinned and you are on the wrong side of God. That's your own fault and your own doing. He's given you all of the good things and you've offered bad. But he is kind. He is kind toward you. He is patient with you, giving you all this time to seek him, to find him. And what do we know? If you seek, you find. If you knock, that door is opened. So I hope that you will consider Christ, who is the kindness of God himself, who was perfectly kind in every way that we fail, always willing where we are unwilling. I hope you will consider Christ, whose kindness for you is seen in the sacrifice that he made to pay for our sins. I pray that we will all, together, that we will all draw near to Christ to not only rejoice in his kindness, but to also walk in it as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need your kindness. We don't deserve it. Help us to be a people who live out your kindness toward others who are like us, also undeserving. Lord, help us to be sympathetic people, not holier than thou, not better than others. Help us to see that we're all the same, sinners in need of salvation, beggars in need of food. Lord, help us to identify with each other in such a way that we know how to serve and to help others and point them to the one who saves all. Your salvation, Lord, your kindness is unconditional. Help us to know it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.